Are there any questions or thoughts? Andrew, you look like you might have one.
Said something about religious people and them thinking they have something like in their emotions, but I don't know, maybe it's just like, it's really funny, like I think religion ultimately forces you to the point where you're just like a machine and you don't really have any. I mean, that was at least my experience, and I heard something that Pastor Stevens once said, that emotionalism is a good thing if it's motivated by God. And I know you have to be like real careful about that, but I don't really understand.
Okay. Yes, I agree with you in many respects. That's true. That religion forces you to be more like a robot, where you're trying to perform something that isn't real to you. What I'm talking about is the feigning, or albeit maybe unwittingly, but feigning things like the leading of the Holy Spirit or hearing from God. Those are, in a religious system, people who have been raised in religion or spiritually raised, right? Not necessarily as children, but people who have been spiritually raised in religion, in other words, Christianity, quote unquote, apart from the word, but with something else in its place, usually it's based on the Ten Commandments. Those people will then, because they know and they've read in the Bible that there is a leading of the Holy Spirit, but apart from the Word of God, you cannot be led by the Holy Spirit and clarity and truth. Now, you can be, the Holy Spirit can arrange things, He can draw you, but to have clear definition from the Holy Spirit where you can hear for the situation in the moment, that does not come through vagueness of impression. That it comes through the clear Word of God, a certain sound. Religion does not provide that, and therefore people do not learn how to objectively learn, how to objectively hear from the Holy Spirit. When that happens, because they know they should hear from the Holy Spirit, they try to hear. Okay, and they get very subjective. It'll be their subjective mind that speaks to them, and often that's through their emotions. So, for example, I can ask God a question, and now I try to hear the answer, and I look for the answer in different signs. Okay? And, maybe not so much this sign, and then there's this sign. And I become very subjective. When my sheep will know my voice. It didn't say my sheep will know my signs. My sheep will know my voice. That means that He speaks. But they can't hear. And so they feign hearing through subjectivity, and frequently that'll be in the emotions. But you're right, as far as the day-to-day life, it becomes almost like an automaton. No life, no fruit, no fullness, just a lot of rules. And thinking that this is the way to God, desiring God in sincerity, they go for the rules and they miss the life. It's religion. I don't need a sign from God, I have the Holy Spirit. If God is too small to talk to me, then I have a very small God. If I have to try to hear, then I'm not hearing at all. You know why I don't hear all the time? Because sometimes God is silent. Right? I mean, you go home and you are with your family. And you don't hear their voices all of the time. But when they say something, you hear them. Why? Because that's when they are speaking. Christians get weird. They think they have to work up hearing with God when they don't try to work up hearing with a person. As though God cannot speak even more clearly than a person can. He created the vocal cords, but He can't speak. It's not that He can't speak, it's they don't know how to listen. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. This is what the religious crowd is like. This is why they attacked Jesus and said He has a devil. And it was God. They were saying literally, God has a devil. You know? They don't know how to hear. But they do know the law. And they take their security in the law. Because they don't know how to take their security in the Spirit. Because they don't know the Spirit, not in an experience. They may be saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. But in a practical, experiential, everyday, practical life manner, they don't know the Holy Spirit. And religion does that. It's Cain's ministry. Very often it's Cain's ministry. Anyway, good question. Are there any other questions? Okay. Father, bless these words to our hearts and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Proverbs 24, and starting in verse 3, the Word of God says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. One of the things about believers is that very frequently they can't experience what they know they ought to experience. They know they ought to experience peace, but they have no peace. They know they ought to experience joy, but they have no joy. They know they ought to be able to trust God, and yet they don't trust Him. They know they ought to be able to experience victory, but victory doesn't come. But they know that they should experience these things, and they don't. And they do their best to experience them. They are sincere and love God, but they do not. And the reason is right there in Proverbs. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. What is this talking about? This is talking about something called soul structures. Believers have certain soul structures. And that's what Proverbs is referring to. There are structures in our soul. And depending on the structures that have been built in my soul, those structures will determine my frame of reference. The soul structures are the norms and the standards of my frame of reference as a believer. And if my norms and my standards are not built through wisdom, understanding, and knowledge there speaks of doctrine. If the norms and standards of my heart, the structures of my soul, are not built by these three things, I will have the incorrect soul structures, and therefore I will manifest the incorrect life and the incorrect fruit. Now, there are a few different types of soul structures that a believer can have. The first one is found in Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to go through some of the main ones. Starting in verse 30, Ephesians 4 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and tumult and evil speakings be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." This is talking about two contrasting soul structures. The first soul structure is one that grieves the Holy Spirit. So it's a grievous soul structure. Now, it is characterized by bitterness, by wrath, and by anger, by tumult, by a tempestuous personality, by evil speakings, focusing and speaking negatives. Never focus on negatives, never speak negatives. Let those be put away with you, from you with all malice. You see, if I have bitterness, it will lead to wrath. My wrath takes me to anger, where the wrath becomes outward. My anger leads me to tumult, to turmoil. My turmoil leads me to the evil speakings, and my evil speakings are the result of malice, or take me to malice. Why? Because I have the wrong soul structure. It is a structure in my soul that will respond to demonic initiation, but will not respond to the Holy Spirit of God. It will grieve the Spirit, and it will obey the atmosphere. And this is a frame of reference that I have in my heart. It is a soul structure. This soul structure needs to be done away with. I choose to put it away from myself. How do I choose to put it away from myself? I choose through Philippians 4:8, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. So I choose the soul structure there. I don't grieve the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. I don't manifest the fruits of the flesh. I manifest the fruits of God. Love, joy, peace, temperance, goodness, patience. The fruits of the Spirit come through a proper soul structure. So I put it away from myself with a conscious decision. I consciously choose to trust God. I consciously choose to meditate on the things of God. I consciously choose, despite what my emotions may be telling me, to rely on the Holy Spirit. I consciously choose to rest in Christ. This provides for me a proper soul structure, where I don't grieve the Spirit, but I walk in the Spirit. The second soul structure is in Colossians chapter 3. And starting in verse 7, Paul is talking about the old man and the way that believers used to be before they knew Christ. Let's start in verse 8. "But now put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy." What's blasphemy? Anything that goes contrary to the nature and character of God. People think blasphemy is like taking God's name in vain. And certainly we don't want to do that. But that's a very superficial Sunday school morning understanding of blasphemy. Blasphemy is when I go contrary to the nature of God. That is blasphemy. Because the name of God refers to His character. So when I go contrary to the nature of God, I blaspheme. put it away from yourself. Put off these things. Shameful speech out of your mouth. Words that don't edify, words that are corrupt. Foul language, yes, but not merely foul language. Shameful speech, speech does not glorify God. Speech to which the angels can listen and praise God with you is not shameful speech. But the angels hear my words. What are they hearing? Others hear my words. What are they hearing? Are they words that build or are they words that destroy? Because words will do one or the other. There is no middle ground. I may say my words are neutral. But if you don't gather, you scatter. Neutral words are words of sublimation frequently. They are not words of edification. They are words that fill the air with emptiness and nothingness. And they fill people's souls also with emptiness and nothingness, although they don't seem wrong. Choose well what you say and choose well what you do. How do you spend your time? Is it meaningful? Is it eternal? Or is it just okay? If it is just okay, then it is a waste of time. Because we have been told, redeem the time. We act like we have a long time here. Number one, we don't know how long a time we have. And number two, even if we do have, by the earth standards, a long time, what do we have? 70, 80, 90 years? That passes very quickly. It is a brief time. Our life is but a vapor. We have only one opportunity before eternity. What will we do with it? Don't think, if you are young, that it is not relevant. It is extremely relevant. If you are young, that means you have a greater opportunity. Don't squander that opportunity. It is a gift from God. But the problem is that in truth we don't know how old or how young we really are. Young people die all the time, right? It is not anything new. It is not. We think to ourselves that a young person will not die. But when I worked in the emergency room, I've seen plenty of young people die. It wasn't necessarily violent death either. Illness, asthma, heart attack, accident, all kinds of things. Youth is no guarantee of anything. However, the youth that a person has should be taken as an opportunity. Pastor Stevens made a great statement one time. Live like there is no tomorrow. Plan like tomorrow will never end. I think that was a good statement. Live like there is no tomorrow. Plan like tomorrow will never end. What would you do if you had no tomorrow? How would you spend your time? Would you go contrary to the nature of God? Or would all of a sudden the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the leading of God become extremely valuable? God forbid that we have no tomorrow, but we are not guaranteed that we do. Plan like there is no end. Plan like you're going to be here forever. Why? Because we are in a lost and dying world. But live like you will not see tomorrow at all. Because we are living in Satan's domain. Don't blaspheme. Because blasphemy is a wrong soul structure. Don't take the character of God and misrepresent it to yourself or anyone else. But live in His character. Because apart from living in His character, I am blaspheming His name. Continuing in verse 9 of Colossians 3, do not lie one to another, having put off the old man with his deeds. Do not lie to one another. Although do not lie to one another certainly does mean don't speak falsehoods. But again, that is a very superficial meaning. Do not lie before each other. Do not live in a lie. Do not live apart from the finished work towards each other. Treat each other kindly. Because otherwise, we are living in a falsehood. We are living in that which is apart from God. We are living in that which Satan has initiated. And Satan is a liar and the father of all lies. So if I do not live in that which God has initiated, I am living in a lie. Do not lie to one another. Walk in the Spirit so that you do not lie to one another. This is talking about relationships. Don't just walk in the Spirit toward yourself. Walk in the Spirit toward each other. Because in that is life. In that is the transforming life of God. And that is that which can touch the heart and make it new. It's in the Spirit of God. So do not lie to one another. Having put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, having been renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. How do I get into the right soul structure? I put off the old man. I pick up my cross. I deny myself. I don't indulge my lust patterns. I don't indulge the things of the flesh. I don't indulge my moods and my emotions. I don't indulge my pride. I don't indulge my insecurity. I don't indulge the things of the flesh. I put them away from me. I lay them down and I pick up a cross so that I experience resurrection life. How do I do that? Well, having been renewed in knowledge, in doctrine, according to His image, doctrine that reveals Christ, doctrine that reveals the nature and character of who God is, doctrine that reveals the finished work, doctrine that reveals the full counsel of the mind of God, which is in the finished work, which is the grace, the mercy, the purity, the sweetness, the righteousness of God. God's righteousness can never be experienced apart from God's heart. Because it was His heart is that which established His righteousness on my behalf. So I cannot experience it apart from His heart. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind one to another. And this is the kindness that we were talking about before. It's not a kindness that has a zeal for righteousness which will either be kind or rebuke just as easily. But it's a kindness that has a softness to it. And this is a kindness that is contrary to religious thinking. It's a kindness that will lure with gentleness. It's a kindness that surpasses simply a nice word or a pleasant countenance. It's a kindness that reaches to the heart because it comes from the heart of God. It's a kindness in which the deep calls unto the deep and ministers mercy. The mercy of God into a heart of a man transforms the man into a vessel of mercy. I need that. You see, apart from God's mercy, I can't survive. I can't walk with Him. I can't survive. On this planet, I cannot survive apart from God's mercy. so I desperately need His mercy. Always turn to God's mercy. Always turn to God's mercy. It is, in fact, His nature. Be tender-hearted. Do not be hard. Be tender-hearted. Do not be hard on yourself. You are a human being who God loves. Do not be hard on anyone else. They are human beings that God loves. One of the things that made a big difference to me, especially in my early years as a believer, was the realization that people are simply human. Things would happen I wouldn't understand, I didn't necessarily like, but the Holy Spirit really imparted to my heart the fact that those people, they're just people. They're just human. They are frail and they are weak and they are in need of the love of God. Sometimes people would be very unkind to me. Sometimes they would say unpleasant things. But I learned that they are just human. And seeing that they are human, and that what I did was actually I saw their need rather than seeing their fault. You see, God will always look beyond my faults, and He will always look into my need. I need to learn to do that. I need to get to learn how to look beyond my own faults and see my needs. And I need to learn how to do that for other people. I need to learn how to look beyond their faults and see their needs. But I can only do that through the Spirit. I can only do that through God's eyes. Because only God can really reveal to me the content of somebody's heart. Never see anyone according to their fault. Always see them according to their need. The reason is because the fault is a symptom of the need. That's all it is. It is simply a symptom of the need. What is the need? The need is for the love of God to touch the heart and transform it. Always see their need. Never see their fault. If God saw my faults, if God kept a record of my wrongs, of my iniquities, of my mistakes, I could not stand. I could never stand. This is why Jesus said to those who wanted to stone the woman caught in adultery, "He among you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And they went away, the oldest to the youngest. Why the oldest to the youngest? Because the oldest had the most sins. So they went away, the oldest to the youngest. God answered that woman according to her need. He protected her according to her need. He didn't deal with her according to her fault. They wanted to deal with her according to her fault, but it was apart from God's heart. Forgiving one another. You see, there is a soul structure of forgiveness. There is a soul structure of tenderheartedness. There is a soul structure of kindness. These are imparted and implanted in my frame of reference through the Word of God, through getting to know His heart and His character. Forgiving one another. Releasing one another from the bondage of their mistakes. Why? Because if I release someone through forgiveness from the bondage of their mistakes, they are no longer bound to the mistake. They can grow. They can have a capacity. They can have the Word of God produce something in their heart. They can have the Holy Spirit transform them because they are no longer bound. And it comes through forgiveness of one another. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Do I honestly believe that I am any different than the worst of the sinners out there? If I think that I am different, then I am mistaken. I have a flesh just like they do. I have an old sin nature just like they do. I have weaknesses just like they do. I have lust patterns just like they do. I have insecurities just like they do. I have fears just like they do. I have frustrations just like they do. I am the same. And I needed God to forgive me because I failed just like they do. Forgiving one another. As Christ has, as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. God has forgiven me. God forbid I not forgive you. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. The experience of release from the bondage, if I give that to somebody else, I will be released from the bondage also. It's so important that the believer learns forgiveness because it is the heart of God. And having put on in Colossians 3, and having put on the new, and those things are the new, kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving as Christ forgives, those are the new. And having put on the new, having been renewed in the doctrine according to His image, who created Him. The doctrine that reveals the nature of Christ. This is how I put on the new. The doctrine that reveals the nature of Christ. Why? Because what I put in my soul is what will be there. So I put in the right soul structures. I don't put in the soul structures of malice or anger or wrath or resentment or insecurity or fear. I put in the soul structures of a new man, of a forgiven man, of a cleansed man. I put in the soul structures of the Word that teaches me and conforms me to the image of Christ. I put in the soul structures that reveals the nature of God to me, in me, and then it flows through me. And I have the right structures in my soul. In Colossians 3:2, let's go a little bit ahead of this. Be mindful of the things above, not on the things on the earth. There are two soul structures that are common in Christianity. Mindful of the things above and mindful of the things on the earth. Do not be mindful of the world. Do not worry about them. Do not try to be like them. Do not try to conform to their concepts. Do not try to gain their acceptance. To be a friend of the world is to be in enmity with God. It is better to be a friend of God and at enmity with the world. God will not pass away, the world will. Have a soul structure that is mindful of the things of God and not mindful of the things of the world. For you died and your life has been hid with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know why people frequently get frustrated or angry or fly off the handle? It comes because they're not getting their way. It comes because it's an emotional response. They wanted something and they can't have it. And the reason is that their emotions will react to the lack of their own way. Their own way has become an idol to them. It is entirely possible that my desires are an idol. And when my idol isn't served, my emotions react. And I get angry. Be careful. Don't have idols in your life. Idols have demons behind them. These things become charged by the atmosphere. And all of a sudden, my responses don't even make any sense. Why? Because I have an idol. Cast down the idol. Humble yourself before God. Do not choose to pursue to have a soul structure of worldliness, but rather of the things of God. And then skipping over to verse 11. Let's go back to verse 10. And having put on the new, having been renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision and uncircumcision, foreign, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all things in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender feelings of mercy. Put these on. They are a coat. Put them on. Tender feelings of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering. Do you know why it's called long-suffering? Because it suffers for a long time. So it is called long-suffering. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Have you ever met anyone who despises their own opportunity for fruits of the Spirit? Be careful and don't get condemned. Don't despise those opportunities. They may not be pleasant to your emotions, but they are opportunities from God. Don't despise them. Think about something. The Savior lives in you. He lives in you on your good days, and He lives in you on your bad days. Do you prefer His patience, or would you prefer anger? He lives in us, and He is never angry, but He is very patient with us. Why? Because He trusts His own nature. I need to trust His nature as well. The place where I get in trouble is when I don't trust that nature. And that's where things become very hard. Forbearing one another and forgiving yourselves. You ever feel like you just messed it up? Maybe you did. What do you do with that? Well, I think a good dose of condemnation will do the trick. No, you forgive yourself. Have you ever forgiven yourself? God has. Have you? You need to forgive yourself if God has forgiven you. We are only human. That's all we are. We are only human. We need to learn to forgive ourselves because God has forgiven us. If anyone has a complaint against any, as Christ forgive you, so also you do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. It is two things. It is a bond, and it is the bond of perfectness. Do you want to have a heart that is perfect before God? Then put on love. It is a bond. There is no release. It is a bond, but it is perfectness. Love never fails. It never quits. It never forsakes. It is a bond, but it is perfect. The only victory I can experience is in the love of God. Because it is who God is. God is love. What victory is there apart from Him? What victory is there apart from who He is? Well, He is love. Put Him on. and let the peace of God rule your hearts. How do I let the peace of God rule my hearts? I will not have the peace of God unless I trust Him. I cannot trust Him unless I know Him. I cannot know Him apart from the Word. Let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you also are called in one body, and be thankful. You know, one thing about thankful people, if someone is thankful, it's very difficult for them to be negative because they're too busy being thankful. In all things, be thankful, because all things are from God and all things are for your sake. So be thankful. I remember years ago when I was shooting for medical school and it just wasn't coming around. And I had an interview at Georgetown University, one of the most prestigious med schools in the country. I think it was the one at Georgetown, I'm not sure now. Might have been George Washington. Play the case, none too shabby. And I had an interview, and my wife was praying for it, and God spoke to her heart, and He said, "Thank me." So she started thanking Him, and we thought it meant that He was going to bring it to pass, but no, it meant that He was working His plan. And the far greater plan was in the works. A plan of eternal value. Didn't get what I wanted. Got better. Got what I needed. Be thankful. You don't know what tomorrow holds. Be thankful. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly with all skillful application of doctrine. And it produces a joy in my heart, so that my heart has a song to God. And everything, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. A soul structure of thankfulness, a soul structure of doctrine, a soul structure of the right identity through the Word of God. A soul structure of the love of God, a soul structure of mercy, of grace, of loving kindness, of gentleness, a soul structure of purity and truth, a soul structure that will keep me in the times of trouble, a soul structure that will preserve me, a soul structure that protects me in the warfare. I don't need soul structures that are given by the flesh and by the world. They do not help me. They destroy my capacity for God. They destroy my ability to stand in difficulties. I need a soul structure from God. I need the Holy Spirit to produce the right soul structures through the Word. I need to have the right frame of reference. In 2 Timothy, and we're almost done, in chapter 3, in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come." Why? Because in these days people have the wrong soul structures. Why? Because we are living in the age that is Laodicean. We are living in the age where there is a poverty of the Word, where truth falls into the streets, where truth falls to the ground, where people heap unto themselves preachers having itching ears, who do not preach the finished work, who do not preach the grace of God, who do not preach against sin, but who will tolerate they tolerate sin and they preach the law. Go figure. Why? Because they preach the strength of sin. "And know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves," wrong structures, narcissistic, greedy, self-oriented, self-centered soul structures, where I am the center of the universe and nothing matters except for how I feel. Wrong soul structure. Incredibly destructive, perilous soul structures. Men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Wrong soul structures. Soul structures that are destructive. Soul structures that take young people and destroy their lives, give them diseases, destroy their capacity, sear their conscience. Take them away apart from God's order into rebellion, where demons have their way with their lives and they are destroyed, they are ruined. They don't have a capacity for God. Only the tender mercy of God can touch that heart. Without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And what does incontinent mean? They can't hold back their tongue. Their emotions must come out. They are incontinent. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Wrong structures in perilous times. Traitors, heady, high-minded, think very lofty thoughts about themselves. They are, of course, supreme. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They do not redeem the time. They do not go for eternal values. They go for whatever feels good. They go for what is entertaining. They go for what is superficially tantalizing to the flesh without any substance for the spirit. Wrong soul structure. This is why idle conversations are destructive. Because they do not build the right soul structures. This is why the wrong activities, although they may not be wrong in and of themselves, they do not gather. They are not profitable. They are unprofitable because they scatter. They bring dullness. They destroy capacity. They put people to sleep. All in the name of reasonableness and entertainment. Wrong soul structures, wrong results. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Turn away from these things. Turn away from people who live in these kind of lifestyles. Do not accept these things as the soul structure. Do not accept these things as the norms and standards for your frame of reference. Turn away from such. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. And silly there means simple-minded. Simple-minded women laden with sins, led away with diverse led away with diverse lusts. Wrong soul structure. Keep away from them. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. You ever meet someone like that? They're constantly reading, constantly seeking, constantly getting information, but they never find their releasing knowledge. They're releasing doctrine, they're releasing impartation of the mind of Christ that transforms their heart. They never find victory. But they are eating book after book after book and never finding God. What is the right soul structure as opposed to that one? 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Continue in them. The doctrine that has transformed you, the doctrine that has built you, the doctrine that releases you, continue in this doctrine and continue know where you have learned it. Be faithful to where you have learned it. Do not turn away from whom you have learned it, from where you have learned it. Knowing of whom you have learned them. Do not go after false preachers that preach false doctrines, although they may tantalize and give what one may want to hear in their flesh. they produce the wrong soul structures. They do not deliver. They produce bondage. And in verse 15, in closing, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures, the finished work doctrines of Christ, which are able to make you skillful in the application of those doctrines in your practical everyday life unto the deliverance, unto your deliverance from your weaknesses, from your sin, from lust patterns, from insecurities, fears, whatever it may be. The wise application, the skillful application of the Word of God in my life will deliver me through faith, through believing and trusting, which is in Christ Jesus. The right soul structure delivers me. The right soul structure heals me. The right soul structure gives me life. The right soul structure imparts God's character. And it comes from the Word of God, being skillfully and wisely applied through faith, through the Holy Spirit in my life. Have the right soul structures.